Hey guys, this is Naeem, and you've reached the Mosaic Church podcast. So excited that you're part of our listening community, and I'd love for you to be even more connected. So check out our website. There's more content there, and there's more opportunities for you to get connected in our ministries and events as well. Also, love for you to share this content. If this is blessed to you, I know that God wants to use you to bless other people with it. So share this podcast, if you will. Lastly, would you consider supporting this ministry? This is made possible by other people's generosity, and I'd love for you to pay it forward. Join us to reclaim the message and the movement of Jesus together. So would you consider giving to this ministry? I know that God is able to do immeasurably more through us when we come together. Thank you so much. God bless you and enjoy.
You guys are having too much fun here. Not doing this. Hey! I don't know what I'm doing here. No idea what I'm doing here. Hey, if you're a guest here, I'm so sorry. We're glad you're here. We are in a three-part series, actually, a Christmas series. And this morning, what I want to do is I want to continue the conversation about these Christmas songs, the playlist that we have. I mean, all of us have, like, maybe favorite songs, maybe songs that you just don't like. But this Christmas, is all about intention, right? I'm going to do this. It's a lot of, like, this is going to happen. And how many of us have expectations about Christmas? Anybody? Right, we all have expectations about Christmas. And then what is this Christmas going to look like for you? Like, are you prepared for Christmas? For some of you, what about gifts? Anybody prepared for gifts? You're good. How many of you are not? You're not good at all. Oh, I love this group. This is my people. My people right here. Yeah, we're not good. You got to be prepared for Christmas. For example, this Christmas, it was supposed to be special. It was supposed to be. The reason is because we have a Bolivian student living with us, Mariana, and this is her first Christmas in the U.S. And I was like, you know what? This is going to be great. But the problem is I was too late in the whole lighting the house game. You know what I'm talking about? I don't even want to say how many people have lights in their on their houses. I just don't want to say that because I don't want to guilt people or shame people who don't have them. And if you do have lights, I don't want to I don't want to continue bad encourage bad behavior. But anyways, I was at Lowe's last week, and I was like, it's her only Christmas, first Christmas in the U.S., and we gotta do some lights, and I was there, and it was like last week, and I was like, I looked at the prices, and looked at how much things it involves doing, and I was like, I just don't know if I want to do that. And then I picked up something that I thought I would never lift and pick up or buy. It's one of those projector light things you put in your house, right? I mean, listen, no shame in that game, friends. There's no shame in that, right? But I picked it up, and I was like, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to take Mariana around my neighborhood and go, look at that. No effort. I'll just drive. I'll take you anywhere. I just don't want... The problem is that I was too late in the game. Because I swear, some of these people have been planning all year long. Because I'm like, how is that even possible, right? I mean, I won Christmas. I left lights. I left them. Yeah. Left them for next year. HOA didn't like that. Got fined. Did I take it out? No, not happening. I was like, come on. So anyways, being prepared for Christmas, what does that look like when it comes to your mental state, when it comes to your spirit and soul and body? So this morning, what I want to talk about is this Christmas, what is your intention going to be, and are you prepared for it? And in particular, I want to talk about your attitude. What kind of attitude are you intentionally going to have going into this Christmas? Because, I mean, you know this, and I know this, that attitude really matters. And you and I are going to walk into conversations and situations that are going to require us to really, really be intentional. Already have like a pre-game, a strategic plan of like, this is what I'm going to do, this is what I'm going to say, and we got to walk into Christmas, the gatherings and parties and the Christmas, or if you're going to have multiple Christmas days, I mean, you got to walk into those situations fully, fully prepared, intentionally prepared for that. So I want to help you do that. Also, I do want to mention that I just want to celebrate with us. We're going to make some noise. We raised $35,000 for the Christmas offering. So Yes, that's amazing. That is amazing. Thank you for those of you who gave. If you still want to give, you can still give. But thank you so much for that. All right, if you got a Bible, grab that. If not, we're going to jump into the passage here. And we're going to look at some attitudes in the Christmas story. And I want to focus on two people, but there are also some, there's some supporting characters as well. But let's jump into the first character. This is in Luke. I'm in Luke. It's the Gospels. Chapter 1, verse 13, and I want to introduce to you a guy named Zacharias. And so Zacharias, if you don't know the Christmas story, he is a guy who is married to Elizabeth, and Elizabeth has John the Baptist. And so part of the Christmas story is that Elizabeth actually gets pregnant as well, and John grows up, in a sense, with Jesus, and he prepares the way for him, and that's why he starts baptizing people and all that. So he's part of the story. But what you might have not known is he's actually part of the Christmas story, because when God starts his plan and tells, Mary and Joseph, John's parents are also involved, so Zacharias and Elizabeth. And so this is the first thing that happens before even Mary's, interaction with an angel. This is Gabriel, and he goes to Zacharias, and he tells him something that he's doing. And it's beyond, it's a bigger plan. So he comes in, shows up, and Zacharias, if you don't know, he is a pastor guy. He works at the temple. He's in ministry. He knows church work. I mean, he's been doing that for his whole life. And by the way, he's an older guy. And so he's been raised in the church, in a sense. So he's very religious. He knows the deal. Like, people who are religious and people who do not grow up in the church? You know what I'm talking about? Right? They know their stuff. This guy knows his stuff. He gets paid to have faith. You know what I'm saying? Like me. You know what I'm saying? He's a guy who knows his stuff. So what happens? Let me pick it up. This is in verse 13. It says, So this angel comes to him, and he says this, let's say it out loud, God has what? Heard your prayer. Now focus, it's not just prayers, it's prayer. It's not one of those prayers like we've all prayed, like, God, would you just help me in this situation? I promise I'll never do that again. Anybody? It's not prayers like, I hope he signs this, or this client actually works out, or I hope I get a raise, or I hope this bonus is good, or I hope, like, these are not these prayers. No, this is the prayer. Like, you have prayers, and then you have the prayer, right? We have, like, this one thing that we've been praying about, and we were hoping that God will answer. So this guy, this angel, comes to Zacharias, and he says, God has heard your prayer, the prayer. And then he says, your wife. So if you're a dude, you're like, oh no, what did I pray about my wife? Right? What did I do? He says, your wife, Elizabeth, will give you a son, and you are to name him John. Now, let me just tell you, right here what's happening is he just got triggered. Like, Zacharias just got triggered by the angel. Because it's the one prayer that they've been praying for, and they haven't had any answer. And they're older people, and they have not had a baby. And I know that when we're struggling with infertility, man, it's a hard road. It's sometimes a very dark road, and it's intense, right? And you know this, and I know this. And so here the angel's like, hey, he's heard your prayer, the prayer you gave up on, the prayer you don't even pray anymore. God has heard that one. Like, it took forever to get there. I don't know what it is. But your wife, like, Elizabeth's going to have a son. Like, your wife is going to have a son, and you are to name him John. And then he says, you will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. And then he keeps on talking and gives him all kinds of other descriptions, and then he kind of ends it with this line, and this is pretty cool. He says, he will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. And if you know anything about John the Baptist, he was the guy who prepared the way. He was known for the guy who prepared the way of the Lord. And this is before he was even born. God kind of ordained this. God kind of said this over him. The angel Gabriel comes to Zacharias, his dad, and says, let me tell you, it's going to happen. And it's not just your son. He's going to be used by God. He's going to prepare the way for the Lord. And so now Zacharias says something. He opens his mouth and he goes, okay, what am I going to say? And so what does he say? And we pick it up here in verse 18. It says, Zechariah said to the angel, first thing, how can I be sure this will happen? Like, I love it. Like, really? Really? Like, how can I be sure this will happen? Again, he's a church guy. He knows the stuff. He says the prayers. But you know how, have you ever prayed something for so long that when there's actually when you're getting close to an answer, you're like so cynical about it? Anybody? You're like, I'm not even sure. I don't know. Maybe God got it wrong. I'm not quite sure. And then he goes, how can I be sure of this? Because I'll tell you what I was sure of. I was sure that God loves me and I'm serving him for all these years. For all these years, I was just sure that God would reward my faith. Guess what? I'm not sure about that. So I'm glad you came. You know, I'm sure you got a lot of things going on in the world up there or down there or wherever you are. Okay? But how can I be sure of this? And then he says, I'm an old man, what? Now. Which is the kind of little bit of a dig. Like, now. Like, I don't know if you know this. I didn't dye my hair here. This is naturally white. Like, I used to pray this prayer when I was what? Young. Bro, like, this is so long ago. Like, you could just feel his, like, don't bring this up, man. First of all, I'm not going to tell her. Like, I'm not telling her, right? So he goes, I'm an old man now, and my wife is what? Is also what? He's so good. He's so good. Take lessons, friends. He's like, well along in her years. Well along in her years. I'm not saying she's old or anything. She's beautiful. I'm just saying she's been going for a long time. You know what I'm saying? She's been going for a long time. Okay? And so this is the interaction that happens. Look at the attitudes, right? And then... So he questions Gabriel. Now Gabriel's talking. Okay? Now his response. This is his response. Then the angel said, this is what he said, I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God. It was he who sent me to bring this good news to you. Like, it was he. Like, okay, first of all, how can this happen? I'm Gabriel, not just one of the guys. The one of the angels, if you read the Bible stories, no angel goes, hey, I'm Jonathan, hi, what's your name? No one does that. He's ticked off right now. He's like, I'm sorry, do you know who I am? Like, I know you, we angels kind of look alike, but still, like, you notice I'm bigger? I'm just saying, I'm Gabe, I'm the man. I'm like, there's Michael, whatever, Michael, but I'm Gabriel. Like, this is serious. And you know what I do all day long? I don't know about what you do, but I'll tell you what I do. I stand in the very presence of God, which is the counter. It's kind of a dig on him, because guess what he did every day? He was in the temple in the what? Quote unquote, what? Presence of God. He was like, I don't know what you do, but let me just tell you what I do. I'm literally there. And I don't even know why, but I was sent to give you this good news. And then he goes on, but now, since you didn't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born. For my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time. Like, he goes, have you noticed what he says? He doesn't even say God's word. He says my words. He's got a little bit of what? Attitude. He's like, oh, you don't believe me? Oh, you don't believe me? I'll believe this. I don't know if he did that. I don't know what he did there. I'm not quite sure how they do that. He shut his mouth. And what did he say? For how long? For how long? Until the child is born. She hasn't even conceived. Wow. Are you kidding me right now? So the story is exactly what happens. He's unable to talk throughout the pregnancy. I'm not sure if that is a good thing or bad thing. Women, I don't know. Is it true? Like, have you ever told your husband, shut it? And if you had the power to just make that happen, wow, right? But he was, and in fact, it's not till when John was born, and then the eighth day afterwards when they were dedicating him and circumcising him, that's when he actually got to speak. I mean, Gabriel had a little bit of an attitude, like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And part of the problem is this. Part of the problem is that when you've experienced this, when you have something you've been struggling with for so long, it's very hard to believe God, even if God shows up. And so this Christmas, it seems like, oh, I'm going into the next Christmas, I'm going to the other Christmas, it's going to be the same. It's going to be the same thing. And in fact, if God himself would come, not just in a dream, but even an angel, not just any angel, Gabriel would have said, hey, the prayer that you've been praying about, it's going to happen. I wonder if so many. I wonder how many of us would say, "I'm beyond the fact. My doubt has superseded the fact of this moment where I'm looking at an entity that's not even human. I didn't have a dream about this. This is really happening. This is the divine. This is over the top. It is awesome, awe-inspiring, supernatural event. This thing, this creature is talking to me. It's telling me the thing that I've struggled with the most, the thing that we've been praying about the most. And it basically says, hey, this is going to happen, and you're going to call him John. I mean, in the middle of that moment, the one thing that overrides everything is his doubt and his cynicism and being real and going, you know what? I don't even believe this anymore. I don't even believe it anymore. And then what happens? I'm not quite sure if it was God's will. I mean, I can say it was God's will for him to be mute the entire time, but I'm not quite sure, because what happens after that is Gabriel is sent to another person. Anybody want to take a guess who that person is? Mary. And I am pretty sure, maybe I'm making this up, I'm pretty sure God and Gabriel had a conversation. I'm sure that God was like, hey, so I'm going to send you to another girl. Now, I need you to be nice, okay? We've talked about this. I get it. I'm not going to supersede your authority. You struck in with, you know, not being able to speak. I didn't come in and fix it. I'm not going to fix it. I get your authority. But listen, this is what humans do, okay? You come, show up. I know they're supposed to freak out. You say, don't freak out. They don't even listen. And then you tell them something, and they're like, what? That's impossible. And I know you're standing there, and the whole experience is impossible, but yet they're like, no, that can't happen. I get it, but listen. I need Mary to be talking, okay? I need her to be talking, okay? Do not do this, okay? Okay, this is not, I'm sending you, I could give her a dream, but I'm sending you. By the way, God gave Elizabeth, Zacharias' wife, a dream. You know why? Because Gabriel wasn't ready. He wasn't ready, friends. He wasn't ready. They're like, this whole family's not going to talk. You know what I'm saying? John's going to grow up with, like, my parents don't even speak. I don't know what's going on here, you know, and it's because of their fault. Anyways, so they gave him a dream. So now Gabriel's ready. Mary is ready. And so we pick it up. This is still in Luke. This is verse 26. It says, the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, so it happened, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you. This is good. I think he's gotten better. If you read the other story, it's a little abrupt, okay? He starts off with a compliment. It's always good, right? It's a compliment, you know, criticism, compliment, that the whole thing. Anyway, so he does the compliment, favorite woman. And then, I love this. What's the first thought? What's the first thing that happens? Confused and disturbed, right? Mary tried to think what the angel could mean, which is interesting, right? Okay, but she doesn't say anything. Smart woman. Apparently, all the women are smarter than men. I don't know, okay? Not sure. Okay. Not all of the women. Don't be afraid, Mary, the angel told her, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. And he will be very great. And it will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will what? Never end. So now Mary starts talking. Okay, what does she say? Okay, she says kind of like the same thing that Zechariah said. Okay, Mary answered the angel, but how can this happen? I'm a what? Virgin. right? The angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the baby will be born, will be holy, and will be called the Son of God. Now, right there, stop right there. You know Gabriel and God had a conversation. He's so sweet here. He's like, listen, girl, let me just tell you what's going to happen. It's all good. It's all good, right? Then he keeps on going. What's more, now Gabriel's talky. He's like, he wants to explain everything. He's like, hey, let me just tell you, what's more, your relative, you know, Elizabeth, has become pregnant in her old age. Yeah. And Zacharias, he still can't talk, by the way. Anyways, but people used to say she was barren. People meaning her husband. Anyways, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of the Lord will what? Never fail. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me, what? Come true. Man, and then the angel left her. This is a great prayer, right? And could you imagine responding to God when he invites you into an opportunity that you've been praying about, when he brings you to a point where you're like, I think I'm about to get an answer, or when he just kind of opens the door for you, and finally something happens, or you're in an environment like this, and you're like, you know what, I feel something God's telling me to step into, like I feel I need to move forward, I need to do something, I need to say something, there's a next step for me, I know I have to do this. Wouldn't it be awesome to kind of, in your soul, just say, may everything you have said about me, what? Come true. I mean, that is just good for your soul. Not everything that I have said about myself come true, but everything, what? You've said about me come true. Her response was pretty different. Her attitude was very different. Now, again, you know, her spouse-to-be, Joseph, doesn't get an angel. He gets a dream. He gets a dream, right? So they don't get like a direct message, you know what I'm saying? They get an FYI or whatever. Like, they go, hey, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. And so you see the attitudes in people's lives. And even Joseph, when he's part of the story, if you know the story, he finds out that she's pregnant and he's confused and what's happening. And in a dream, God tells him, hey, this is real. This is me. And I need you to do the most honorable thing. And Joseph does. I mean, he does the most honorable thing. And what we see is in the Christmas story, there's so many points where people are given a choice to actually act a certain way. They're given a choice to actually respond a certain way. And see, I think this season, God's given you an opportunity to respond a certain way. But it will require intention. It will require a right attitude. It will require, in fact, an attitude that's not given to you or you've just kind of let happen. This is a very intentional attitude that you and I have to walk into. Could it be possible that God's calling you to say, hey, I know you're walking into this Christmas with all kinds of, you know, preconceived ideas. I mean, obviously, Zacharias, Elizabeth, they were going into this season, this point in their lives in this season of their lives, thinking the same thing. It's going to be the same old thing. God's going to ignore the prayer that really is, you know, is so special to me, or things are just going to happen. We know this. Mary and Joseph, they walked into the expectation of this is how our life's going to pan out. This is how we're going to do this. This is how work's going to happen. And all those things are going to work into. So you walk into a season, and we're walking into a season with expectations. And you and I know that we have some preconceived ones. You're walking into a party, you're walking to a gathering, and you're going to walk into a conversation with friends or family members, cousins, and you're like, I don't know, I'm not quite sure. And I think God is saying, hey, your intention is very, very important, extremely important. Because when you're going to look back and you're going to go, oh man, I missed this. I can't believe I missed this moment. I remember a couple of years ago, we went to Europe, and our first stop was in France. And the kids were all excited. We had a great opportunity to go, and we were all looking forward to it. But I was in a funk. I was in a funk. And in fact, we got to Paris, and the first day in Paris, you don't have to ask my wife, by the way. But anyways, you can ask my kids. I'll tell you what, I was in the most foul mood. I don't know what it was. I mean, I wanted to beat my kids. I don't beat my kids, but I did want to. I almost had a fight with a guy who, you know, who cut in line in front of me. I wanted to punch a TSA agent for making comments about me. I was like, I was in a foul mood. In fact, I mean, I'm just going to be honest here, okay? We got into our Airbnb in Paris. We are downtown Paris. We can look at the Eiffel Tower. The kids are like, oh my gosh, baguettes and all this cafe and all that. And I'm in the worst mood ever, to the point I actually lose it, right? I'm not even going to look there, okay? Those of you, I'm not looking at my wife there because she knows. She knows. I was like, you know what? I got to leave. I left the apartment. I was like, I'm walking the streets of Paris, and I'm like, oh, I don't know what it was. It sometimes, you know this, and I know this, something gets inside of us, it just takes over, and you just get a bad, what? Attitude. I don't know what it is. And I was like, I gotta go, and I gotta get this out, and then finally I came back, and then I had to apologize, which is great, you know? And what was worse, though, is that a couple of days later, I was like guilt turned into regret. You know what I'm saying? I was like, man, it was the first day, and they were like, Dad had to have a bad attitude. And I was like, ah. And I don't even know why I did it. I don't even know what happened. I just don't know. All I know was I really wasn't prepared going in. And see, I think for some of us, you miss an opportunity this Christmas. You're going to miss an opportunity in this dinner party. You're going to miss an opportunity with this conversation if you and I are not intentional, knowing that something might trigger us and it might creep in and we might have a bad attitude. And if it does that, if it will ruin a dinner party, anybody ruined a dinner party? Anybody sat around watching it being ruined by someone else? Right? I mean, we've all been there. What if we could just go, you know what, I don't want to do this. Let me, you know, I eventually got to a point where like, okay, God's grace is in my life, I'm good, kids are going to forgive me, it's all good, Ashley hasn't left, I don't think, yet, you know, so it's all good, you know, she's never leaving, by the way. Anyway, so, not that I lock her up or anything, just so you guys know, okay, like, no, it's all good, it's a healthy relationship. Oh my gosh, I'm going to keep talking about this, we're all good. Seriously, we're good. Stop talking about it. Yeah. So I want to read you Zacharias, the guy who couldn't speak when he actually finally spoke. It's interesting. You know how forced silence, like when you can't speak, it doesn't just change your words. It changes your values. Like if you ever spend any time like just being silent for a couple of days, you begin to sees things inside of you, and you have perspective that is profound. So I make fun of Gabriel, but I think what Gabriel was trying to do was not control Zacharias's words. He was trying to control his values and his attitude, because he knows that if he would just silence him, then he could actually hear God speak, and then he could begin to speak to his soul and have conversations inside. Because so often we speak out there and we don't speak inside. And so that's what he did. And so, just to prove this to you, right after this happens, Zacharias writes a poem, writes something, and this is so beautiful. And let me read you a part of it. He's looking at his son, and he says this in Luke chapter 1, verses 76. He says, "And you," he's looking at his son. He says, "And you, my little son, you will be called the prophet of the Most High, because you will prepare the way of the Lord. You will tell his people how to find salvation through forgiveness of their sins. Because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide us into the path of peace." Could you imagine him like holding him and going, you know, I wish I could have. I wish my words didn't just come out. And I'm holding you, thinking this could never happen. This could never happen. And he goes, "My sweet son." So how do we get there? How do we avoid these guilt, shame, regret? How do we do this? I think it's simple, that we walk into this Christmas with an intention. with an intention, with an attitude that's not that is a choice. It's not something that people have like things thrown at you. No. It is a choice, because your attitude, friends, is a choice. It is a choice. And your attitude is also your will. It's not a feeling. It is a practice of your will. So here's a solution. Here's where I would say there are only, if you're going to walk into these environments, you have to have an intention. And so I want to give you two things, two words, but they're connected to a sentence, okay? So the first is this, okay? This Christmas, I will refuse, ... This Christmas, I will refuse. Let me give you some options. I will refuse to be negative. I will refuse to be stressed out. I will refuse to engage in that particular topic. This Christmas, I refuse to be responsible for other people's happiness, other people's attitudes or feelings. I refuse to be controlled by other people's fears and agendas. I refuse to let anxiety keep me from laughter. I refuse to get offended this Christmas. I refuse to give that power to anyone. My kids, my parents, my grandparents, my friends, my neighbors, strangers, people who can't drive. I refuse to be offended this Christmas. The universe is not out to destroy me. I refuse. Secondly, this Christmas, I will allow myself to be happy. I will allow myself to be happy. Yeah, Asher and I were talking about, and Asher just turned 16, really awesome, and obviously he's a musician, and when I say obviously, you might have seen him on the stage here. And we're talking about just genres and music, and he loves John Mayer right now. And we were painting his room the other day, listening to John Mayer, listening to the song. The lyrics is "Dreaming with a Broken Heart," and we were talking about the lyrics of that song, and he was like, "It's pretty interesting how John Mayer is always depressed, but he's always cool, but he's depressed." Because the line is like, when you're dreaming with a broken heart, waking up is the hardest part. Like waking up in the morning. And I just thought, I think this Christmas, some of us, you're going into Christmas with a broken heart, with some stuff, with some intense amount of grief, because last year, this Christmas, something happened. And I get it. But this intention that you're going to have, I think it's so important. And what it is simple. It's, this Christmas, I will allow myself to laugh and not feel guilty because I'm not sad about this. I will allow myself to be happy. How about this one? I will allow him or her or them to win. Some of you know what I'm talking about. I will allow other people to love me. I will allow other people to be wrong. I will allow myself to be wrong. I will allow grace, faith, love to have the run of the house. I will allow myself a day off. I will allow myself not to be perfect. I will allow myself for people to behave badly. I will allow myself not to make room for myself. What could you and I do this Christmas that could be so intentional? So, what about you? What about your family? What if you went, you know what, we're gonna get ready for this Christmas, and what we're gonna do is we're gonna do simply this. we're going to take the statement. This Christmas, I will refuse to. And you put it out there. And for some of us, you should have done this last Christmas. And you know exactly what it is. And for some of us, it's I will allow myself to. Man, these seem so simple. But Mary allowed herself, her life, to be changed, her plans to change, fully changed, because God had a bigger plan. Joseph refused to let judgment and other people's opinions take over his family, and he did the right thing. See, throughout the Christmas story, there are people who refuse to do certain things and allow certain things in their life. And so this morning is simple. When it comes to your life, what are the things you're going to allow? What are the things you're going to refuse? And when it comes to God, let me just say this. I think this Christmas, you need to refuse to get in the way. Refuse to get in the way of what God wants to do in your life. You need to refuse to get in the way. You're like, I refuse to let myself get in the way. I refuse to do that. And I think your doubt and your preconceived ideas, all of your things are getting in the way. And then for some of us, this Christmas, it's about really, I will allow God's voice to lead my life. So those are my two prayers for you guys. What would it look like for you to walk into this Christmas with intention and with the right attitude? I think it will change the game for you. Let me pray for us. Lord God, I thank you so much for seasons like this. I thank you, Lord God, that we're in a place where so many of us are anticipating certain things that are going to happen in our lives. There's travel involved. There's trying to figure out people's schedules. There's gifts to be bought. There's people that we forgot about or we feel like we didn't get enough presents for. God, there's so many moments where we're like, of like excitement, where we're like, oh, I think I found the perfect gift, and then that right after that leads into a moment of terror because we're like, oh, we forgot this, and oh God, there's just these flood of emotions, but there are also this roller coaster of emotions. This season, more than any other, it seems like our peace internally is robbed. So Father, I pray God, that I pray that you would silence us a little bit, that you would allow us to not have our dialogue as much as inner dialogue, that God, our words are only shaped by the values that are behind them. And the truth is that the world inside of us determines the world outside of us. So God, this Christmas, we just, in silence, right now, we refuse to. And right now, in this moment, why don't you fill in that blank? In your mind, just go, God, this, with your help, God, this Christmas, I refuse to listen. And God, for others of us, this Christmas, I will allow myself to receive, to be loved, to let joy in, to be healed. I'll allow myself to step out of my past this Christmas and to end this long season and step into the new. I will allow myself to be happy again. I will allow myself to be known again. And Father, I pray that all of us this Christmas would say, I refuse to let anything get in the way. Myself, my shame, my guilt, in the way of what you want to do in my life. And I will allow myself to be led only by your voice, because you speak to me. The voice inside of me is you, and I follow it. God, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Mosaic Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more audio and video content, visit us at mosaicchurch.tv.